Hey, brothers and sisters in Christ, last Sunday was a lot of fun, wasn't it? You get all these people here, everybody's rejoicing and singing and all the partying and all that. And that's the excitement that Easter creates. But we said Easter is not just for Easter. Easter is actually for every Sunday as we worship that He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Yeah, Jesus is risen. And can you imagine that our text today is the Acts. And the people were so excited about Jesus and His resurrection. They came together, they sold their homes, they did everything, and they shared everything because He is risen.
Risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Can you imagine that type of zeal that people have? Now, many people have tried to say, take those passages that, they had everything in common and tried to make it a communist thing. Or other people have tried to take it and make it to say something. It's not talking about economics. It's talking about our hearts, what happens to them when they pour out for the Lord. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about whether you give someone a life wage or the flat tax. It's not talking about that at all. We have to know what they're talking about. Because the people were very excited back then because Jesus had risen. He had appeared to 500 people. And right before our text today, the disciples had even been in trouble with the Jews. Why? Our gospel text. Why? Because they were preaching about the resurrection. And they didn't like that. And they said, hey, we're going to obey God rather than men. But nothing could stop them from witnessing from their testimony. This is the excitement they had. But, after Easter, we're all excited. But pretty soon, we calm down. And we go back to the mundane, the ordinary things the way we used to do. After all, come on, we've got bills to pay. We've got things to do, right? We got to be at our job. All those commitments that we have. And we return to those and kind of turn back to ourselves and are a little bit selfish. Now, see, Adam and Eve were not the first selfish. That was Satan. But Adam and Eve had... got to go all the way back there. Had every fruit of the garden except for one tree. But they were so selfish, they couldn't stand it that God could even have one tree that was just for Him. Oh, we have to have that too. See, and that's kind of a need of humans. Actually, humans are kind of inbred with selfishness. Why? Because it works for survival. No one's going to take care of you better than you, right? It's like when you put your loved one in the nursing home. No one's going to take care of your loved one like you do. There are good nursing homes, there are bad ones. But you know what? They're not going to be as good as you would be. Why? Because you're invested in it. But we're talking about people, we bring things in and we forget about others. It's part of the human condition as well. But these people had come and they were around Jesus and they were so excited about His resurrection. Love has consequences. It's like when you love someone else, it has a consequence. They reached out to others. Now, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. That's true. 1 Timothy says, we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. And how true that is. There's nothing in here this life that you can take to the next life, except your faith. And the Bible says, your works of faith do follow you into heaven. So we can take those things. But yet we get so involved with all the stuff around us that we sometimes miss the glory of Easter and the glory of God. And that's our sinful nature. For the wages of sin is death. Now, being selfish worked for Adam and Eve until it didn't. Selfishness works for us until it doesn't. You know what we find out doesn't? Because sin leads to death. And then selfishness won't work for us. I had a guy once, this sort of related, but his name was Harry. And Harry was an ornery guy. Good Christian, but an ornery guy. And he handled everything by being ornery. And one time, he was sitting at the nursing home, he and his wife were fine in the nursing home, and he was giving the nurse a terrible time. The nurse was trying to give his pill, and he kept giving her a hard time. She walks out. I go, Harry, I think you enjoyed that. He turned around and smiled. But the sad part about Harry is being honorary worked for him until it didn't. And that didn't came when they found out he was allowed to ride. And it didn't. A lot of things work for us. Sinning can work for us until it doesn't. You know, running through a red light might work for you, might get the next light until the police car can hang you, right? It works for you until it doesn't. And death will always come to us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all face that time when suddenly everything we've done in life doesn't work. Until death doesn't. He that believes in Jesus Christ, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that lives and believes in him shall have everlasting life. Jesus is the end to death. Why? Because he paid for your sins. He sacrificed himself on the cross. He rose to the dead, proving that God the Father himself has accepted this sacrifice. Therefore, you have this gift, a gift of faith. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's got to come as that gift of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says you were dead in trespasses and sin. But guess what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. You are now alive again in Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we have a new life. Love has its consequences. We are turned around and suddenly we see that God is with us in all that we do. Just like when you, husband and wife, you love someone, you love your kids. Guess what? That love has consequences. And you love your kids, and you will do things for them you wouldn't do for anybody else. And when we see God's love pouring into us, guess what? Things change. I just met with a man yesterday. When I say poor, I mean he's poor. He gave up having really a lot of money so he could work with the church in different areas, especially music. He's very poor. I don't even, he lives in this little shack of a house. His neighbor just lost his house. He took his neighbor in. And he told me he did it because why? That's what Jesus would want to do. You know, that love, that's what these people are doing. And that's why they poured out their hearts and their minds. Now, it didn't say they gave everything. We don't know what they gave. You don't. It says some of them got so excited they sold their house and gave to the poor. What percentage of their income was it? I don't know. You know, I once had a person that were telling me, they were talking about this like multi-billionaire. You know, what a nice man he is. Look at all the money he gave to such and such. And I said, do you realize that's less than 0.1% of his income? Not his worth, his income is what he gave. Was he really that generous? I remember once a woman sitting in the pew, she didn't have any money, she took off her necklace and put it in the offering. We made sure and we did something with that necklace. You know, there was the widow's mite. She put in 2 mites, 2 pennies, that's all she had. And she said, she's given more than anything. Why do they give? And you know, when I look at the congregation, I am astounded by what you guys give. You give freely of your own free will. Why? You're doing it because you love God. The Holy Spirit has moved you in your love of God to bless others. Now, some of the people criticize. By the way, Christians give a lot more percentage-wise than any other group. And the atheists will go, oh, well, that's because Christians, it doesn't matter because they just give to their church. Well, that's true. We give mainly to our church. But I know you. You give to cancer societies. You give to all this other stuff as well. Which says, why? Because you love God. And when you love God, you want to love and help others. Look at what did God do. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will we not also with him graciously give all things? And you're here worshiping. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has moved you in faith to want to worship God, to pour out your love and show God your love. And God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there also. So Jesus comes to you today and says, peace be with you. Why? Because he is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. He's risen indeed. And he's with us through all the valleys and the troubles and the problems in our life. He's with us through the good times and the bad times. He's even with us when we tend to forget about him and get so busy we go astray. But he's the good shepherd. He calls us back to faith. He loves us. And his love for us is poured out to us. And then our love. I love Jesus because, guess what? God loved me first. God loved me. And now my love for him pours back out. Because, you know, actions speak louder than words. There's still people out there. But let's not talk about money, but let's talk about people who need your time or your talent or maybe people who need a consoling. Maybe you do that at your job. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. But there are people all around us that the Spirit wants us to lead and guide us. You know what? We should be so excited about this message that the government can't contain us. Culture can't restrain us, but we go out and we say, he is risen.
He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.
It's amazing. It goes on, not just on Easter, not just on Easter Sundays, not on every Sunday, even though that represents a little mini Easter every Sunday of the year. It's every day of our lives and every day of